Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You serious?
Yo, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy.
And I am producer Bill.
Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you in advance for killing some time with us. This is one of our best of the year episodes. Our second part, actually. The last was the Poodcast, where we really broke down the matter of whether people sit down or stand up to go for a shit. If you've not listened to that, listen to it. World First Podcast, all about poop. This episode, we're going to talk about some of the highlights of the year. And a big thing about How to Kill an Hour, or our big ethos, is looking for new ways to kill time, right, Bill? That's what we do, right? We look for new ways to just enjoy yourself.
Yes.
Cool. So we were joined by Ramel London for episode 274. And she let us know how she likes to kill some time.
This week... Oh, I've been playing Sims.
Yeah. Really? Are you a Sims fan? Which Sims?
What?
Sims? Is Sims in the butt?
Okay, it's on my phone.
Okay.
It's an app on the phone.
Yeah.
And it is literally killing an hour because it's time.
Yeah.
It's actual real time. So, I downloaded the app a couple of weeks ago because my colleague, Yinka Bikini at Capital Extra.
Shout out to Yinka.
Yeah, shout out Yinka. She was like, after her show, I was like, oh, what are you doing today? Uh-huh. She literally said, I'm going home to play Sims.
Wow.
And I was like, this is mad.
Oh, hold on. If any of you lot know Yinka, yeah, that is something that she would say.
Yep. And it blew my mind to the point where I was like, raw, how do I get in this? Like, how do I get onto Sims? And she was like, she said her friend gave her an old laptop and it had Sims on it.
Yeah.
So she was like, yeah, man, I've been busting up Sims for like the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And I was like, sick. And at first I was a little bit like, rah, that's mad. But yeah. I was like, nah, this sounds like a motive. Because it was just before Easter. Easter weekend, let's get on it. So the phone one isn't as advanced as the original. Because they're building houses and stuff, whole towns and cities. Mine's more personal.
Okay.
Mine's like, you know, I'm nurturing a child now.
You have a child.
I have a child. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Like,
how was childbirth in Sims?
Do you know what? Really quick. Okay. Really, really quick.
Just tap the screen.
Basically, it said, do you want to have a baby? Say, yeah.
you have to do an in-app purchase for that. Yeah.
Basically, I had to buy the basket, Moses basket. Right. That's the only way I was allowed to have a baby. I had to buy a Moses basket. And then I clicked on the Moses basket. It said, do you want a baby? Say, yeah.
And the baby disappeared.
The baby appeared.
Do you design the baby as well?
Yeah. No. Do you know what? I just thought about it, yeah? I didn't actually have the opportunity. I gave it a name.
Yeah.
She's called Raya King.
Okay.
I really like this name, yeah. Raya King. Yeah. I don't know where it came from, but I love it now.
It's a very Hollywood name.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, yeah, she's going to be a star. She's going to be a star.
That's some kind of star name still when I think about that. Raya King. Hey, that's some kind of star name.
Sorry. But the thing that blew my mind the other day, so obviously... The mum, you can't, like, there's minimal interaction when the baby's in the crib and stuff.
Okay,
so it just says, oh, check on the baby.
Okay.
Like, give the baby a bottle. It takes 5 seconds. Like, literally, really, really unfortunate, to be fair. Yeah. But then the other day, it said, it said briefly, like, Raya's old enough to be a toddler. The way the baby hopped out the crib and just started walking. Bopped out the house.
Left the house.
House.
As a toddler.
Left the whole house.
That's some bad parenting,
whole
man.
Whole house. And then my
why did you stop the baby?
No, the thing is, my character, so the mum, what's the mum's name? What's her name?
I thought it would have been called Ramel.
Actually, nah, I didn't want to do that. Like,
too personal. That would be too personal.
So the mum, at the time, she was busy doing her hobby.
Okay.
She couldn't even go and collect her child. Literally, my mind was blown. I was like, so hold on, you're telling me this baby can bop out the house and the mum can't even do nothing about it because she's busy playing her guitar?
Wow.
It's deep. Now, when you really, really think about it, this is messed up.
So what are your family plans for things? Like,
so the thing is, okay, so we have a husband, yeah, the dad, obviously.
Okay. And how did you meet?
He was just walking past the yard.
just holiday.
You have to build a relationship.
Okay.
But then, you know, you have to click, like, oh, do you want to take this further? All that kind of stuff. They got engaged, they got married, and then that's that. You had to be married to have a child.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you had to be married.
Okay.
Yeah, serious.
The makers of these games are religious, aren't they?
Proper, isn't it? So, but I don't have control over the husband. It's mad, isn't it? This is not like, mad deep.
Not like real life. Not like
but
real life.
He's not my character. So I can't actually.
Oh, so he's an online character somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
He's someone. He's.
I don't
he,
think he's someone.
AI. He's just AI.
Yeah, he's just AI.
Oh, he's AI. Okay.
I think so. I think because I don't know anymore. Because you can only play this game while you got Wi-Fi or thing. Yeah. So it could be someone, you know.
Wouldn't it be great? If there's a guy right now sitting down with his friends. Brother, I left the house just to go to work. Yeah, and I came back and the toddler was walking down the street and she was playing a fucking guitar. Goddamn guitar! Could you imagine?
It's mad! So I have no control over his interaction with the child, all that kind of stuff. So I was actually like, nah, this is a problem. I've been trying to figure out how do I make him mine? Like, how do I make him my character?
Right. Yeah.
Because I need him to interact with this child. This is real life.
I've got an idea for you.
He's a black man as well.
Can you? Oh, Sims. How are you going to do us like that in the coding, Sims? How are you going to code that in?
You need to take it to the Maori
That's
show.
Cold.
On the Sims. Take it to the Maori
that
show.
That is cold.
Take it to the Maori show.
How are you going
to
do that,
it's
Sims?
Serious.
All right. Can you build walls and stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
why don't you just build a wall around your husband?
Like Fortnite.
And put a door there and put a child in.
He can get out. He can honestly do what he wants.
Can he get through the wall?
He could do, mate, he could do the. My child bopped out the house.
It's like you married Terminator.
Oh, what?
This guy.
Nah, I haven't seen him walk through the walls, literally.
Okay.
But like, there's no restrictions for him. He can go, he can leave, come and go as he pleases.
Okay, so there's a lot going on in Sims for you at the moment.
Yeah.
How many hours a day are you spending on this, to be honest?
Do you know what's mad as well? I noticed when you play it, it doesn't let like notifications come through. It's mad.
Wow.
So you end up staying in the game.
So you lose time.
Mate.
Mm.
In the Matrix.
I think the only thing that can come through is a phone call. I think that's the only thing.
Seriously.
Maybe a text, but no one texts no more. So all my WhatsApp stop, everything, all notifications stop. It's actually like I'm in there. So I don't actually know how long I've been in there. More time, I'm probably there for like, I reckon 45 minutes at a time I'm playing it.
I think Billy's downloading it now so he can... Make a proposal.
Yeah.
He wants to replace your husband.
Get some adultery going on in there, innit?
But there's options for all of that, man. It's
really?
Always asking, oh, do you want to flirt with this next buddy? It's always asking things. Yeah. It's really bad. There's options for so much.
I don't know about you, but I personally, well, I can't do it now because you're a lovely person, but I would like judge somebody's life on Sims and say that's what your life is like in real life. But for you, were you just playing out a different life?
Now, do you know what? I modelled it quite... It's very... I'm very morally conscious while playing this, you know? It's kind of weird because I've been making some judgments based on... And I'm stereotyping a lot. Like, I look at the characters and I'm like, do I want to be friends with this one? Okay. I'll choose this one instead.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, how emotionally connected you get to the characters and all that kind of stuff. Come like, oh, would she want to be friends with this person? Like, oh, is she going to build a relationship? Oh, she can't talk to him because then she'll be cheating on so-and-so. It's mad.
Interesting.
This is why the game has been around for so long.
It's true.
Sims. It's been around. I don't even know. Bill, do you mind finding out how long The Sims has been out around for? Because I feel like it's
time.
Been out for like
that's
my
from
whole
my childhood.
Life.
Yeah. Mm. That's definitely childhood.
Ages. What's up, Bill?
First release, February 4th, 2000.
Really?
No. Really? SimCity was before that. SimCity was the game before that. That was it. So
SimCity's older than Sims.
So SimCity was the prerequisite.
SimCity, 1989.
Oh no!
That's my year of birth. What?
Wow. Ever played SimCity, Bill, or The Sims, or anything like that?
Never, ever.
Really?
No, didn't even take my interest whatsoever.
No iteration of it at all whatsoever. Have you ever played any of those kind of like Farmville games or anything like that where you kind of have to look after a society?
No, never.
Roller Coaster Tycoon?
No.
World of Warcraft?
No.
Really?
No.
I don't know why I said World of Warcraft.
None of it.
Different. Really? Tamagotchi?
I have Tamagotchi.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a little bit of like human life, or shall we say a life form digitally that you get to look after. How was your Tamagotchi experience?
Things with Tamagotchis back in the day, it was cool for like a week and then you just got bored of it.
Just let it die. Let the screen fill up full of shits. Do you remember they used to do little shits and if you didn't clean up the shits, they get sad?
I wonder if they stood up or sat down.
They what?
I said, I wonder if they stood up or sat down.
Oh, no. That's in the podcast, Bill. That's all right. Let's keep it moving then. So 278, we were joined by Wide Awake. And a thing we've been doing towards the end of the year, and I think we're going to be doing in 2019, is actually bringing people onto the show to play a game with us or something and then talking about it on the pod, right, Bill? They got their hands on a game called Overcooked 2. I let CJ Beats, one half of Wide Awake, talk you through it. Episode 278.
So Overcooked is essentially a game about teamwork. And about responsibilities. And about healthy eating as well. Because you are making...
Well, we only achieved the salad and a soup, so...
Healthy.
Yeah.
Don't get healthier than that.
Low carb.
Well, the only ingredient was leaf, light lettuce and tomato for the salad.
Yeah, no dressing.
And for the soup, onion. That's it. So, you know, semi-healthy.
So the aim of the game is to work with your partner to feed this beast, which we miserably failed at. Mm-hmm. So we were transported back in time to the year 1933, where we were taught the mystic ways of cooking, where we then had to be transported into a restaurant and cook onion soup and serve it and then clean up the dishes and then repeat.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's basically... What you don't want to do in life is, but they put that into a game. They've gone, here you go. Here's some tasks, some like menial tasks. Complete them repetitively until you finished.
Do you know what? You were actually cool with it until you had to wash dishes.
When that happened,
I was fine. Like, no, they want me to do dishes. No, fuck this.
But because you want a problem because you walk into the restaurant and you know the manager hires you and he's like, right, I want you guys to cook onion soup. Cool. Mm-hmm. Whilst you're actually cooking the onion soup, he's then like, oh, by the way, can you serve that? And you're like, for fuck's sake, all right, cool. So then you serve it. Oh, by the way, can you go and collect the dishes and wash them as well? It's like, listen, if you told me this on the front desk, then I might have.
You know what's quite deep as well, right? That I just thought about it now, right? So we were serving onion soup, right? But our sensei was an onion.
That is very true.
Do you know what I mean? I just thought about it now and I thought, we've just been killing his brothers and sisters and he's been watching. He's a maniac.
But he's an onion with a moustache though. Does that make him,
you know,
different?
Maybe the onions with moustaches don't like the non-moustached onions and he wants to wipe them out and he sent you back in time to do mass genocide on this breed of onion.
He also reminds me a little bit of the guy from Crash Bandicoot. Was he an onion as well?
Was he an onion? I don't know.
In my memory, I feel like there was an onion in Crash Bandicoot.
Only you could make this so deep. I did not know it was going to go there.
Woo! That was light as the movie, didn't it?
So yeah, to the creators of Overcooked, explain yourself. What kind of message are you teaching young gamers?
Mm.
That they can kill onions?
That they can speak to onions and eat them at the same time?
Jesus.
You know what's interesting, though, is that somebody always ends up kind of becoming the head chef. And Jordan was like, I'll be sous chef, yeah. But I did notice you were dropping like quite a few commands out there. You usually that bossy in the kitchen? Or is this like an insight into your production process? Nah, is he always be, like, more trap drums? Nah, more trap drums?
To be fair, in the real world, like Jordan would outcook me in any restaurant. So,
yeah.
The honest truth about my cooking life is that I don't like cooking only because I'm such a fan of food, right? Yeah. My expectations are so high that whenever I have attempted to make dishes in the past, they have never reached my expectation. Or as I'm cooking it, I'm like, this is going to, oh, if I add that and I add that, this is going to taste a certain way. And then I eat it and it tastes like trash. So I've purposely avoided doing that.
It's a very good excuse. It's a very good excuse.
I'm such a fan.
So I just let my mum do it, innit?
Yeah. No, so no, what it is, mum, is I'm such a fan of your cooking.
No. Right, honestly, like, listen, mumsy's cooking, yeah? No one's ever going to beat that. Maybe I have been spoiled to a certain degree because whenever I do turn up at my mum's house, there is food and I'm allowed to eat it. So I'll take that option all day.
Cool. And you're going to get what you like as well.
I'll get what I'm given and I'll get what I like.
So are you the better cook then, Jordan?
Yes. But I'm just going to put it out there. But let me explain it like
so
this.
So ropey.
But I think CJ's got it in him, but they're like he explained it, is there's a form of like, he would reach for the delivery quicker than he would reach for
I don't think anyone's ever, you may have experienced this before, right? Is that you decide you're going to cook something. So you're like, all right, cool. Let me go online, get a recipe. You go to the supermarket, you spend X amount of money on getting all this stuff. And then you put X amount of time in actually putting it together, and then you wait for it to get ready. And then if you're cooking for someone else, obviously you've got to present it. So then you put it down on the table, and you all that time, money, energy, and effort you've put into this, you take a bite out of it and you're like, I'm not so sure about this. But then the person sitting opposite you who you've cooked for, they're trying to be polite when you know this isn't what it's supposed to be.
But I think that's what a chef who has presented a bad meal would say. But if you present a good meal, then they should be going, this is
tasty.
And you would be going, this is tasty.
I don't possess the ability to do that. So I step back.
You lot would benefit from something like HelloFresh. Again, not being paid. Hashtag not an ad. It's like one of those companies where they send you the ingredients and a recipe, but it's all, you get everything you need, and all you have to do is put it together and cook it.
Still sounds like I could mess it up.
Where you'd like do the last step first.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know.
I love everything about cooking apart from the washing up. Genuinely.
I really know that so now after today. Yeah, the way your whole attitude changed you were like, we have to fucking do the dishes too, bruv. What?
Because that's always my trade-off, right? If I cook, someone else is doing the dishes.
Right.
So that's why I'm always like, I'll cook. I don't mind cooking because I prefer to be that person than the person who has to do the dishes.
At least you're honest, though. Like, there's a lot of people out there that'd be like, oh, yeah, I love cooking. I just don't have time.
Honestly, though,
all the time. You lot are like, no, I have time, but fuck that.
Are you a washer or a dryer? Remember you used to get those set tasks where it was like either one or the other?
I used to get wash and dry.
Wash and dry.
You
never had an option of like, do you just drying or just washing?
I had a day. I've got three siblings, right? And obviously mum and dad, but we all lived in the same house, right? I had 2 days a week where I needed to do the dishes, I think. I think I used to do it three times. I got stung. Somebody bumped me along the way. I remember doing a lot of dishes.
Someone bumped you along.
Bumped me.
Are you the youngest in the family?
I'm the second youngest in the family. Middle child. Somebody was doing me dirty, I reckon.
Yeah, the middle child always gets the short end of the stick.
I agree.
I too am middle child.
Whoa.
I feel your pain.
CJ.
Fist bump.
It's hard, isn't it, bruv?
It is.
Let me. Having to get hand downs in the form of clothes sometimes. Your mum and dad trying to convince you that you'll grow into it.
Yeah, for sure.
When
I told you,
a
listen.
Clear seven-year age difference.
I would describe my childhood in one word, two words. Get what you've got. Get you given. That's it.
One word, two words.
Something
six
like
words.
Hey,
I describe one word. Get what you get when you're given.
there's an old saying.
That's the one word.
Fool me twice.
Yeah. Fool me twice.
Then shame on
fool me. Fool me, can you fool me? So that was when Wide Awake hopped on the show. Episode 280, we were joined by our regular presenter friend of ours, Dev. This is his take on gaming.
I had to stop playing for quite a long time because...
Be honest, why though? This is really good because I respect your willpower here.
Yeah. It feels so weird to talk about, right? Because it feels ridiculous, but I'm addicted to computer games. I'm totally addicted. I get fully immersed. I don't really play like, oh, I'll play for an hour, 2 hours. I'm like, no, I want to play until I can't keep my fucking eyes open. I just want to keep playing. And it's weird if I said to somebody, I stopped drinking. And like, why? You know, it became a bit of a problem for me. People go, well done. If you say about computer games, people are like, if I say, yeah, I had to stop playing computer games, people kind of look at you blankly like, yeah. But I'm...
So did I when I was 18, bitch.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's not as damaging as, say, a drug addiction. But I tell you what it really robs you of is, like, time. It robs you of time and productivity. And it's a lot of time that you don't really get back. So it's all well and good if you and your mates are playing, say, like, a couple hours, like, a few times a week. But if you were like me and you get into a game so much that that's all you want to fucking do is just spend hours and hours and hours on it every single day, every chance that you get, fucking waking up early before I got to leave to go work so I can get in a few hours. It just got really ridiculous and it got really out of hand. And I also get so invested. I get so invested in those games that I find it really hard to draw myself out. You know when I felt the real switch? When I got my first pair of surround sound headphones to go with my Xbox. That was when it went from, visually it's always been stunning, but when you put on those headphones, man, you sit in front of the TV, dim the lights a little bit, you hear footsteps behind you and stuff, and you know, just you feel like you're really there. That's when it became like, I really got into that. I like that escape, you know, the end of a long day or whatever, you just come home, put your headphones on, just dive into a game like Fallout. You know, you're in this derelict wasteland just scavenging for fucking tin cans and shit. for hours I could do that. But I did just jump back in and I decided, right, I'm going to only pick up games that I know I can play and I can just put straight back down again. There was a game that came out a few years ago, State of Decay. It was about zombie apocalypse. You can sort of see a theme here, innit, with the games that I'm into. And they just brought out the second one and it's pretty good. It's a lot like the first, I'll be honest. They've polished it up a little bit.
When you say a lot like the first, do you mind explaining to me as someone who's not a State of Decay player?
I mean, it does get a little bit repetitive. So a lot of what you're doing involves going out into the wasteland, finding resources like food and ammunition and medical supplies, and then bringing them back to your base. What is quite cool, though, is this time around, they've added in little extra elements that make it feel more like a zombie apocalypse. Like, it feels more realistic. So for example, there are other groups of survivors. You can find other survivors and bring them back to your base, but there's other groups of survivors. Some of them are cool, so you'll trade with them. Some of them are fucking assholes, man, and they'll just like shoot at you for no reason, or they'll become hostile. But what is so good about this game is when your character dies, they're dead. Don't bring them back, they're dead. Like, they're just gone. So you can have a, say, like a group of five people and you get really attached to, say, like one of them, and you make them your leader, and you're going out and you're doing a mission and you get stuck and you ain't got no painkillers or whatever, and you die, your player dies, they're dead, that's it. There's no continue, there's no like bring them back, like no, they're dead. So you kind of, you the characters even mourn them in the game, you know, morale dips. It's I think they've thought so much more about, okay, so if it's the actual zombie apocalypse, what are the kind of things that are really going to resonate with people? And that, when you, I certainly get really invested in a lot of those characters in those games. And I had a moment with, I'd only been playing it for a few hours and I'd gone to go meet some new survivors in the game and they shot at one of my characters and they killed her, man. They killed her. It's really upsetting. It was really, for a good day, I was a bit annoyed about that.
You mourned a computer character?
Yes, I did. I mourned a pixelated woman after she got shot at. And you know what I actually said to myself at the end of the day? I said, you know what? At least she wasn't eaten by zombies. At least it was quick. She's a headshot. Bap.
So
gone.
Let me just get this right.
She didn't suffer.
When the main protagonist dies, or the character that you're using dies, do you start again or do you start playing as another character?
You start playing with another character in your group.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad then, is it?
I mean, you know, they have improved on it a lot, but it is quite reminiscent of the first one. It's a little bit repetitive. Here's the other thing, is it's a bit stressful. So when you're out and you're searching houses and you're using your torch, you have to search each individual room. Sometimes there's a zombie hiding under the bed or whatever, or one that just like jump out. Or there's types of zombies that can like fuck you up if you're on your own. So there's like feral zombies, for example. And you get this sort of panic when you're out doing stuff and your heart's going, and you have to keep morale high within the group. And if the morale drops and they start arguing, and then, you know, food drops, and if the food runs out, then your players are going to start to starve. And when I go back to what I said before, I like to get immersed in the game as a form of escape. If I'm escaping to a game that's just fucking stressing me out even more, like, we're running out of food and somebody's banging at the door, we're all gonna die, oh my god, oh fuck, Sharon just got shot in the fucking head, oh my god, like, it doesn't, I'll level you, even though I'm enjoying playing, there's a lot of times I'm like, this isn't relaxing at all, this is really stressful.
It's really, it's very stressful.
Yeah, sorry.
You mentioned feral zombies and stuff, so I take it there are zombies that are really fast and like 28 days later style zombies, and there are some that are like Resident Evil.
Yeah, they got a good mixture in there of the slow walker ones, the ones that kind of run after you. But what I like though is, apart from the feral one, they're not very dexterous, so you can move out of the way last minute. And that annoys me in those 28 day later zombie films is when they have
superhuman powers,
like dexterous agile zombies, like running upstairs or whatever and cutting around corners. I'm like, no, fuck off, no. At best they could like get up to a gallop, but they're not going to be, you know, you just do a little like quick little dodge, like a quick little dodge, they're going to fall over, they're not going to be able, the brain's not quick enough to. So I like how they've incorporated that. They've got these feral ones that fuck you up, man, like they can dodge gunfire.
It does what?
This, yeah, it does this like sweep attack where it like sweeps you off your feet and then jumps on top of you, starts mauling you. And then they have a big one called a juggernaut. It's like this massive one that can smash up your car. And yeah, it's really good, man. It is very enjoyable.
If you get bitten, do you definitely turn into a zombie then?
No. So what they've done in this one is they've introduced something called the blood plague. So if you get scratched or something, you'll be all right. But if you get attacked too much, you have a temperature meter that builds up, and if that gets too high, you get the blood plague. But you can build an antidote for the blood plague by picking up samples from blood plague zombies. I'm a fucking nerd today. Listen to me. Listen to how much I know about this game.
Blood plague zombies.
I've been playing for about a week, and I thought I know everything. Jesus.
If you were an addict,
imagine I put this same level of
into life,
just into anything, any other constructive fucking project. Imagine I put the same level of effort into anything else, how successful it would be.
Well, I still think though, Bill, don't you think that gaming is constructive way to kill time and relax yourself?
Yeah, definitely. If you enjoy it, why not?
Exactly. Anyway, here's another clip from the same episode where Dev talks about his ideal woman.
I'm really into the idea of dating somebody that could kick the shit out of half the room of most of the places you walk into. That just really does it for me.
Being with somebody that could fuck you up at a moment's notice.
Yeah, well, not me necessarily. I don't mean me. I could start shit. I could be in bars or something like that, and just walk up to blokes and be like tap them on the shoulder, like, "Oi, see my girl over there? She kicked the shit out of you." They'd be like, "What?" Be like, "Yeah, kick your fucking head off, mate. Do you want to go right now outside? My girl fucking kill you, mate. Let's go." I would love that. I do that quite a lot, you know, when I develop crushes on people. I don't just think, oh, I quite like them. I play out whole scenarios, like feature length scenarios in my brain about what it would be like to date that person. I also did it with Grace from Clean Bandit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was staring at her and just sort of thinking, I wonder what our relationship would be like. And I mean, I don't know. I've met her once before. I've interviewed her. She was very, very lovely. I'm just sort of just adding a bit of conjecture as to what I think the relationship would be like. I don't think we would get on very well. I don't think we'd have very much in common.
Why is that?
I don't know. This is just conjecture. Like I say, this is made up fantasies in my brain. I don't know why I think any of this, but it's just playing out in my brain. I think we'd have possibly separate beds. We'd be like, go to bed at the same time. We'd read books side by side, whatever. No intimacy whatsoever. No intimacy. I might try every now and then. I'd sort of like, you know, maybe rub her leg a little bit. She'd be like, stop it. Fucking animal, stop it.
It was no before and it's no again.
You're always like this. Like, come on, just a little bit. Come on. You know, like married couples in Carry On films.
Mm.
Do you know, there was never any fucking going on, was there? It was so frustrating. Like even as an adolescent, like watching those films, just thinking, why don't they always get close. They always get really, really close to a little bit of, you know, but you never
rumpy pumpy.
Yeah, a little bit hanky panky, but they never actually get laid. So that's what we would be like. We would be like a Carry On married couple, so we'd have our caravan and holiday. There'd be plenty of mishaps there. She'd really disapprove of all my friends as well. That's what I got kind of. Why is it even in my own fantasy I can't be happy?
Is this saying a lot about yourself? I'm just leaning into this, taking this in.
Why can't I be happy? Even if I can make up whatever I want, that is where my brain went to.
Would you like a woman that could give you a little bit of fisticuffs, Bill?
Probably not.
I like the idea of being looked after. I like the idea of being a small spoon. Would you like to be the small spoon ever?
No.
Really? Why not?
I feel a big spoon.
You want to be the big spoon. Big spoon Billy. Anyway, here's a bit more about Dev. And potentially there were quite a few people that wanted to spoon Dev. I'll just let him explain. But this is from episode 280 as well.
Now that I've done the MasterChef thing, up to my profile, sort of gets you out there. Got me a lot of mum love, man.
Really?
Oh, a lot of mum love.
What's mum love? What's mum love like?
Mum love is this, yeah. So you'll be out and about minding your own business and some really hot woman will come up to you and she'll walk right up to you, maybe touch you on the arm and go, excuse me, can I just say, my mum really likes you. Yeah. And then she'll walk off. Like, oh, okay, thanks.
Mum loves strong love, yeah, though, bro. Listen, mum love is good love.
I'll take any love. So mum love is really good. Got a lot of DMs slided as well when I was on TV. That was interesting.
From?
Just randoms, man.
Really?
Yeah. I've only done it a couple of times. I've only slid into DMs a few times. But I noticed a significant increase.
What was the style of DM slidage?
Oh, always polite, but always like sort of the same thing. Like, oh, you seen anybody? Oh, I think you're quite fit. Let's go for a drink sometime. Fortunately, I was dating somebody at the time. I'm not now, so I'm just saying if you would like to... I'm just saying if you would like to re-slide back into those DMs.
If you like to rekindle
that. What has happened to me? I can't believe I'm using your podcast now as a chance to try and shout out, to try and get laid.
Today, it's already been a platform for a few podcasts. Yeah. It's been a platform for some lovemaking as well.
Awful, awful.
What? But how many messages into the sort of, are you single? Are people jumping straight in to that?
Yeah, I think women are a lot more tactful with their DMs, aren't they?
Mm.
So guys will, for a lot of guys, because you're not having a face-to-face interaction with somebody whose DMs you're sliding into, if it's like an Insta model or just somebody you think is quite pretty, they say things you would never say to a girl in real life. You wouldn't go out to a girl and be like, show me your tits, LOL. Like, what's the best response that you're expecting from that? So in my experience, like certainly the DMs that I've been saying, women are like way more just cool about it, just normal. You know, like, hey, like, you know, I think you're like quite attractive. Do you want to go for a drink? Or, oh, hey, are you seeing anybody? Like, that's, you know, that's cool, isn't it?
That's nice. Yeah, I think that's nice. I don't know. I thought it might be something creative. Like, it's really good how you cook that food. Are you single?
You know what? Like that? You know what? Maybe there was a few like that.
Yeah.
Sort of did the sly introduction. Just, oh, you know, I just thought you were really good. And by the way, you seeing anybody? But again, just it's better than sending
a nude,
just like the aubergine emoji or something like that. Yeah.
And water splash emoji.
I really worry about that, man. I really do. I really worry that because young people, because so much of their interaction isn't face to face, I wonder how it's going to affect their communication in the future. Face to face communication is, and spoken communication is so important. I think about, again, it's going to make me sound old, but I remember when MSN Messenger first came about, right? Think WhatsApp, but on your computer for your under 18 listeners.
Microsoft Network Messenger.
Yeah. So what I realized is I would speak to girls I fancied on MSN. I wouldn't say half the things I said on MSN to them in real life. You're a bit braver, aren't you? Because, I mean, if you say something, say you shoot your shot, and they shoot you down, you don't have to kind of deal with that rejection firsthand. You can almost just turn your computer off and go, oh, that's not real. But the other thing you can do is you can take time in your response because it's not a real-time conversation. You know, if I ask you a question right now, like what's the capital of Iran? You can look it up, you can sound smart, you can reference stuff, like you can be in control of your personality. And you can't really, to some extent, you can't really do that face to face. You have little tells, little signs, little things that give you away, your body language, all these things that people can pick up on you when you're having a face to face conversation. But if it's just if it's just being written all the time, constantly, not face to face, it's done through devices. I don't know. I worry, man. I worry what the communication is going to be like.
It is changing, though. Like, I'm not really feeling for or against it. I just noticed the change in, like, the way people can be. I feel like people have got less. Let's use the chatting up example, because that's where it came from. I feel like people have got less game, and I feel that's from men and women. I've seen interactions in clubs and stuff. I've seen the way people try and talk to each other when they like each other, and there's just a little bit less finesse in it. And that's because there's less on the line, because really, if you go out and you don't pull, you can just jump on Tinder and get busy. Whereas back in the day, there was no WhatsApp. Yeah, you know, texting was a thing that people did a bit, but you couldn't really run mad game on text messages. So when you came in the club and you were talking, you had to come correct. You had to look correct, smell correct. Everything had to be great. You had to leave that lasting impression. And then you have to do it all again at the first proper date.
It was brutal. It's definitely more hard work. That's one thing I think we should be thankful to Love Island for. Is they reintroduced the idea of grafting.
Yeah.
They brought that back.
Yeah.
They brought back the idea that, oh no, you got to put in some work.
It's a run game.
Yeah, you can't just show up and be like, yeah, you know, get your dick out or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know,
you can't just turn up and say, hey, I used to be in Blazing Squad, but I don't like to talk about it. Hey, I used to be in Blazing Squad, but I don't like to talk about it. Hey, I really don't like talking about it, but I was in this band called Blazing Squad.
It's coming back, actually. I'm not trying to avoid that.
Love Island.
As much as possible, yeah.
Yes.
I can't look at stuff like that.
I can't do too much.
I did get sucked in a little bit. Some of those trashy shows I get sucked in. That X on the Beach.
No.
Couple seasons ago, that got me.
Really?
Just because it's putting people in such an unnatural, not only unnatural, but unlikely scenario that you would be hanging out with somebody that you fancy and like three of the people that you used to date show up and live in the same house as you. Oh, whilst they're also fucking other people that you've been hanging out with. That just is so much unnecessary drama. Like, how can I not watch? How can I not watch that?
It sounds like hell.
I've shown up to parties on my own and seen an ex-girlfriend there and been like, oh, for fuck's sake, man. Let alone if I'm with somebody and there's three exes in the same party. Jeez.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I'm not about that life. I'm not about that life. Three exes at the same party. But shout out to Dev for getting a lot of mum love out there, man. A lot of mum love out there. Do you watch MasterChef, Bill? It's not my kind of thing to watch usually, but I did check out Dev. He did all right, you know?
I haven't watched. I don't really understand baking and that. I don't understand why everyone seems to enjoy it.
It's more like the pressure. I feel like when I watch these shows, it's not so much like a regular cooking show, because a regular cooking show is, hey, I'm going to make this. And if there's something that goes wrong, you just never see it, right? MasterChef, it's like, oh my God, my trifle hasn't set. Oh! And it's like, they put the pressure on, like, 10 minutes, guys. And they're like, oh, my trifle. Ah! And then obviously, what I love is like the humongous failures.
Yeah.
So like, they try and, I don't know, cut a slice of trifle out and it just ends up being like trifle soup in a bowl. And they're like, oh.
That's not a good trifle.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but
then you just give me the food at the end. That's all I'm happy. I just want to eat it.
So you want the version of MasterChef where they actually just deliver food?
To to my door.
That's called Deliveroo. Anyway, episode 291, we were joined by Ori Styler, who had a very unique experience joining some male strippers on tour, but I'll let him take it away. Episode 291.
One of the things which is quite unfortunate for me is that the budget they had for the tour and the shows, we all had to be in the same green room. That was one green room we had. So when they're getting ready for what they're doing... Yeah, you get very personal with some of these people.
And they're used to just being naked all the
bro,
time.
Oh, bro, you have a conversation. One's got a dick pump on and he's pumping himself up. He say, yo, what are you saying, cousin? Yeah, man, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I saw you did that thing online. How's it? And he's pumping up his penis, bro, to make it as big as he can for his performance. Another one tying himself up behind the balls to keep the blood in there and asking you how your mum is. Bro, this is so in your face, bro. So yeah, you do. I, and one of them is a friend of mine from when we were kids. I've known him since we was about 11, 12 years old. So it's not a thing where I had to really get to know them there. Some of them, it's just like talking to regular guys. Some of them I knew from before, but it's just like talking to regular man then. But the thing is, it's they don't have a problem with what they're doing. It's us that see them as strippers. Mm. They just see them as they're going out there working. Literally high-fiving each other after rubbing himself up. Bro, don't touch me. Don't touch me. But for them, it's normal. It's like, whatever, it's oil in it. It's a bit of penis juice. Bruv, don't bring that nowhere near me.
So is it like, is male stripping, is it a career? Is this something that these guys are doing full-time?
Full-time.
You know, this is their job. They're making money off this.
So I don't know about here, because they don't really allow it here. But in America... You see how women will throw 20s and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
At the tour that I was doing, the women weren't throwing money at them for two reasons. One, we don't have £1 notes. So when you're throwing a £5 at someone, when you're throwing £5 notes at someone here, you mean it, innit?
Yeah.
You could afford, if you throw £5 at someone, you'd be like, that's the one I'm throwing, right? Whereas in America, they could throw dollar, 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 and it just looks pretty when that happens. Yeah,
whereas if being showered by pound coins,
blood, this
painful.
Is dangerous, bro. Yeah, take it off. Ah, man, I've got a concussion. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's one reason, and second reason, I just think the tour that I was on, they didn't really allow it anyway. They were, it was kind of, they wanted people to feel like they didn't have to pay more to get the full experience. They paid the entrance, or pay for their ticket. You're gonna get a great shot. But in America, when they're throwing money like that and it hits the floor, try know that money is the strippers. So imagine I go out and I do 20 minutes of stripping or whatsoever. And I get my fee for being there for that night. Let's say, I don't know what it is. I don't know the money. Let's say a performance fee of $150, right? Plus what people throw on the floor if I do a real good job is another $150. That's $300. For 20 minutes. That's, and I do that maybe 4 or 5 nights a week. That's basically, to be fair, that's similar to any form of entertainment. As a comedian, that's not far off of what a working comedian who's working regularly gets. Do you see what I mean? If you can be on the stage 5 nights a week, you can make a career out of it easily if you're working regularly and you're doing really, really good jobs and shows. And with strippers, I feel like when they see that kind of money, and that's just minimum. Some of them get private bookings. They're charging like all a grand to go to someone's, you know, like Hindus and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're charging all like a big grand to go and jump out a cake for £1,000 for maybe 45 minutes of dancing with ladies. And then they'll still throw money on them to say, yeah, take it off, take it off. So, yeah, they do all right. They do okay.
As a male stripper, do they make more or less on average than female strippers, do you think? I know, obviously, you...
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like maybe they make... I feel like they make less.
Really?
Because with a female stripper, I feel like what men will do is they'll want to flash the cash. Whereas women will be like, you should want to take it off for me, really. Do you see? There's a difference.
I respect that. Yeah. You should want to take that off.
That's what, bro, at this show, bro, women ain't throwing as much money as men. Men know that when they're in a strip club, a woman's working and there's also a big barrier. You can't touch them. You don't touch a woman when she's... You get kicked out of the strip club.
Yep, at least. Beaten up.
Men's strip club, though, bruv. Listen,
they would grab anything they could see, right? So one of them had his piece all hanging out with a bandana wrapped around it. There's about 4 or 5 hands holding onto it. He couldn't move because if he moves too fast, he could end up rupturing himself. Couldn't move. And he was saying, get off me. Can you get off me, please? And they're not listening. They're like, no, why? You should like that. Why you don't like this? What's wrong with you?
Wow.
Imagine if we said that. Hey, all right then. So in that same environment, with a female stripper, she can come out and strip and then do pole dancing and lap dancing and so on, right? And make money. And there's security watching her so she could just make her money and also clean up, pick up the cash, bounce. I'm not saying that it's an easier job for them. It's probably just as difficult as a male stripper. However, the setup is that they will make a lot more money because men are more inclined to throw more money at them to show that they got the cash. The women are much more professional. I would say they're more professional. They're more prone to knowing this is about getting the money. Let's go. And the men know this as well. Whereas when it's a male stripper and the females in the crowd, the females aren't thinking you're a stripper. They're thinking, yeah, you must like this. Us women screaming at you, you should be excited about that. Like, nah, I'm meant to get paid. No. You should like this. There's a whole different dynamic. Have you not noticed as well? Male strippers. I can't remember which comedian said this, right? And he did not lie when he said this. A female stripper can come out in the clothes that she's going to be in for the whole night and maybe just pull, you know, a little bit off to show a little bit of skin. The man has to come out looking like he just came from work. So even in order to excite the woman, he has to already look like he's got a job elsewhere before he could strip on the stage. No, be real. Fireman, doctor, police officer. They have to look like they have a career already before they can impress the woman. If I came out in my tracksuit bottoms as a stripper, bruv, just in my regular tracksuits, they're going to think you're some road man. Yeah, you can't do nothing for me.
Yeah.
For the fantasy to work, he has to look like he's already got a job and then have to work another job to make that money. It's not easy for them from that angle. But I think the women definitely make more money because of that.
Interesting. Was there much insecurity in the male changing rooms when you're out? Or are these guys just consummate professionals?
Oh, nah, the insecurity was on my side, bro.
Really?
100%. What?
Were these guys ridiculously good looking?
It's not about the good looking, bruv. I'm sorry, but the women ain't looking at your face. Well, unless you're really ugly, they weren't looking at your face. They're like, yeah, you're cute. But in their head, they're like, look at the size of that. So I'm there going, if that's what women are expecting, I'm not chatting to nobody at the end of this event. I know how they get ready. They use pumps and they use pills to thin out their blood. They use fluffers. A fluffer's a person that comes to the back of them. And yes, bruv, it gets raw. Remember, one green room. They use these kind of things to help them get themselves in the zone. Myself, all jokes aside, I feel no way about them and me in terms of looking at them and my self-esteem feel away. Not in the least. These guys, this is what they do for a living. They wake up, they go gym, and then they have to make their body look great. They have to go and pump themselves up every day. It's what they do. It's like me looking at a security guard saying, oh my God, why is he so hench and bigger than me? It's because it's part of his job. So I don't feel no way, and they don't feel no way about each other either because they all know they all got different skill sets. Some of them are quite big and butch and they're very beasty and animalistic in terms of their performance, where others, they're more trim, cut, still quite muscular, but their performance is more acrobatic. And some of the women like that too, so it just depends on what their style is. There's no egos there, really.
Doesn't using a dick pump all the time affect your penis?
It has to. There's got to be damage there, bro. There's got to be damage. I mean, it pulls the veins to the, bruv, I don't know. It's got to be damaged.
And thinning your blood. Like, why do you help the pump?
To thin your blood to help the flow get down there. It's okay. like Viagra, innit? So it's to help you get aroused. Viagra doesn't just, I think it's Viagra has hormones in there to get you aroused, but it also helps thin your blood. So it keeps the blood flow down there consistent, unless you tie it up, which these guys do as well.
So they can stay up for the whole time they're out there, they're meant to have an erection, like a full on lob on.
They tie it up though.
Sheesh.
They tie it up.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That can't be good. I just think that can't be good for the blood vessels tying them up every single day. I mean, and are these guys, like, how old are they stripping to? Guys.
There was some there that were like 19. There was one guy.
I thought you said 90 for a second.
No.
That's a career.
Nah, bruv. Nah. Woo! Come out with a walking cane. You know, and you realize, it's not the cane. That ain't a cane, mate. Looking like the old monkey from Donkey Kong, you know. The Grandpa Kong. That's it. Nah. There was one night. One of them was 19 years old. and he's like 6'4", and he, without me being, without it sounding wrong coming from me, he was the guy that he, like, the most blessed one,
right,
on the tour. He, like,
he was the tripod,
bruv. This guy, when I tell you, this guy, because they would wear their pants and so on, and tight pants and stuff, and you'd see it coming, poking through and so on. And what they would do is they'd have it, and they'd get the ladies to start, bro, all the women afterwards would be like, did you see how big that was? And he's the 19-year-old. He had one guy I know who was doing it. He's just, he used to teach stripping to some of the guys that were there as well. 50 years old, 52, I think now. Sorry, 51 by now, yeah. But yeah, I'm telling you, bro, some of these guys, they do this for life. Life.
How interesting. Mm. It's good to know that we've got options, though. Yeah. Right? Me and you. You know what I mean, yeah, bro? If we keep this gym game up.
Yeah, you got options, bro.
Give us a couple of those pumps, a bit of rope. Tie that shit off.
I got to do a job I know my mum's okay with.
We could do the cheap chocolate city, the Freddo City.
Freddo City. Nah, bro. I'll support you from afar, bro. Nah, I'll support you from afar. You put up a little tweet saying I'm doing this, I'll retweet it for you, and that's the most you'll get.
I get a retweet. I thought I was just going to get a like.
Nah. Like's a bit suspicious. If I retweet, it's to let people know what you're doing. If I like it, it means I'm endorsing it and say, well, I like you're a stripper, bro. Nah. We can't like that. We retweet that. But we don't like that one.
One interesting experience. I had a lot of questions for him about that experience, and I feel like when he's next on the show, we should ask him a few of them, Bill. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. Why not? Just throw him in there.
100%. Now, Julia Hardy's a big gamer. She actually does loads of work at BBC Radio 1, and she's about that gaming life. She also admitted to having a very unique take on playing a game where you could make some decisions that would, let's just say, you don't get to make them in everyday life. This is episode 292.
I'm still trying to. The game I'm actually playing is Detroit Become Human.
Always wanted to play that game, by the way.
Although I keep making some terrible decisions that make me think that I'm actually a psychopath, because, you know, you can go through the tree to look back and see what other people voted and did. And I've realised that I think I'm either a sociopath or a psychopath, because I've made some decisions that nobody else made. I've accidentally killed quite a lot of people.
And the fact that you're laughing about it as well is quite questionable, Julie.
Well, some of it was the controls, you know, because it'll have like a quick time event, and you know what you wanted to do. Okay, so this is my frustration with the game. It's very much more like, if you haven't played it, it's very much like an interactive movie. The gameplay is quite light. You have to sort of make conversation decisions or decisions like action decisions in the moment, and it's all a little bit timed. So it's quite gameplay light, and then sometimes it will be confusing what I'm supposed to be doing. And when you think, like, actually, I'm not even really controlling a whole character doing a whole thing. I've just got to make a very specific decision. How are you getting this wrong, explaining this to me? Because it's like the whole moment has stopped and you're just conveying me one piece of information, and I still didn't really understand what you were trying. Anyway, so I've accidentally killed some people. I left the guy to die in a shootout.
Wow.
I didn't mean to. It just, this action came up. I was like, quick, get out. Oh, no. Whoops. I left him to die. Whoops.
So under pressure, we know that you may...
I'm terrible.
May or may not...
Terrible decisions.
...have psychopathic... Maybe. Yeah. A little bit.
No, I think what's worrying me is that it's clear that it's coming. There's a bit in it where, like, you play a lot of different characters as you go through, and there's a bit where you have to decide whether to effectively execute a android... to find out more information. And I was just like, wow, I need to find out more information. Shot it in the head. And then it was like, why did you do that? And I was like, actually, that's kind of harsh, actually.
But you got the information, though.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I think it was because it's all about them becoming sentient and becoming woke, effectively. And this one wasn't. It was just like a woman who was just around the house. So I was like, wow, that's all right. She's not awake yet.
Just
probably fine. I mean, she could wake up, but I don't know that. Why did I do that? And then afterwards, I looked back and I was like, I don't like what this is bringing out in me. I had to stop. I was just like, I think I'm like really worried about my own mental state right now. That I'm just like, I straight up shot someone who could theoretically be sentient in the face. To find out some information to further my investigation. And I was like, Julia, what are you doing? Why are you playing this game? I thought I was like a really nice person. Okay. Apparently, I'm evil.
So I'm guessing we shouldn't be asking you to share your tree with us.
No. I don't think I want to share. And then everyone was kind of like, why haven't you been playing Detroit? Why didn't you stream that? I was like, no one needs to see this. I think I'm just going to keep this private. God.
Can't lie, I've been doing some wicked things in Red Dead Redemption 2, bruv. Some sinful things. I feel like if I was in Westworld, the TV show, I would be one of those fucked up dudes out there just like killing people.
I've been playing online as well. My honor's not great.
Is it? Are you out here? Are you a backstabber in these streets?
No, just when there's a mission, you get an option to whether just let this guy live or just shoot him in the head. And I just tend to just shoot him in the head.
Is it like, do you want to let him live or... Are you like that quick? You like, you don't even messing around.
Sometimes if I'm with a posse, I'm like, right, who's doing this? Like, yeah, you're outvoted. Sorry, bang.
Have you ever beat someone to death on the game?
Not yet, no.
Have you not?
Just use a shotgun.
But there's like options where you're punching someone in the game and you can choose to not keep punching them. And I was like, punch, punch, punch. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
Whoops.
Yeah. Anyway. This, I don't know how we're going to seg into this, but we've had loads of fun this year on the show, and the last episode was the Poodcast. It was something that we got very fixated on. Now, the next thing we're going to play you is a real thing that happened, right? I came across a very interesting bunch of stories, and I think we need to shed some more light on them. This is an extract from 294. I think the episode was actually called Florida Man, wasn't it? I believe so.
I think so, yes.
It's episode 294 anyway. Actually, we really should know that, shouldn't we?
It was called Florida Man. There you go. Florida Man featuring Funk Butcher.
That was the one. All right, yeah, this is a clip from it.
I was actually with some American people a few months ago, and they were saying Florida Man is like the headline for the starter of the weirdest headlines ever.
Yeah.
So if you Google Florida Man, obviously there'll be a few fucked up ones in there, but usually it's like Florida Man tries to
chew someone's face.
Let's do it now.
Literally, yeah. You know, Florida Man marries cat. Literally like that, man. Florida man puts engine in tree and drives through bank. Bruv, it's crazy.
So this is basically where Netflix are going to mine all their original content from.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Go on.
Florida man arrested for attempted striptease at restaurant.
Attempted striptease? Like he didn't make his trousers off in time.
I really want to get some news music for Billy when he does all of these as well.
How can you attempt a striptease, I wonder? Was the dancing rated bad? Like, did he not get his clothes off in time?
It was an attempt. That's offensive, you know. And it was an attempt. Right, Billy, you ready to give me some Florida
yeah,
man
I'll find, please? I'll find a couple. Florida man steals a van to drive to Waffle House. Florida man bursts into ex's delivery room, fights new boyfriend while she gave birth. Oh, Florida woman tells cops she has no idea how drugs got into her genitals.
Into her genitals?
Yeah. Oh, Florida like alligators, isn't they? Florida man throws an alligator into Wendy's drive-thru. Florida man attacks a dancing flamingo at Busch Gardens.
Wow.
Florida man gets banned from pizza after making too many prank calls.
Banned from pizza? Yeah. Not even a specific establishment, just banned from pizza.
Florida teen.
Anything with cheese and tomato.
Florida teen pretends to be a doctor twice.
Twice? Okay.
Florida man freaks out over shuffleboard at senior citizen center.
Right, one more. Let's have a big one for the end, Bill.
Florida man assaults his boss with frozen hamburger.
I really sound like a seal when I laugh, bruv.
I'm not seeing it personally.
Or like a seagull. Not like a crow. Florida man. Can we whip up some Florida man bit like this? This is a real thing though. Are we going to do some Florida man in 2019, Bill?
I think we should, both those are, there are pillars of how to get out is, do you stand up or sit down and Florida man. Imagine if those two stories were somehow connected. Florida man stands up to take a shit and then a seagull comes and takes his shitty tissue.
Florida man tried to pay for McDonald's with a bag of weed. That is an actual, the first thing that came up when I put it in Google. Florida man uses his own poop in a washing machine. Guy craps himself on all... No, that's not one. Florida man gets paid £7,000 a year... for his good healthy poops.
I think it's time to end this New Year's episode. I just want to say thank you for all of the love that you have shown us over the last 12 months. And we can't wait to have 12 more months and beyond of great content here at How to Kill an Hour. Have you enjoyed your year, Bill?
It was good. It's been a good year. We've done some good stuff.
Yeah, man.
And there is some even more interesting stuff lined up for the new year. I think there's some videos coming out on our YouTube that you will enjoy. So don't forget to subscribe there.
Yeah, they're in the mix and blend. We've got some really nice visuals. So you'll be able to see a lot more of us. Also, make sure you follow us on social media. Literally everything is How to Kill an Hour now. So it's very like unified. So give us a click and a follow.
If there's anything you want us to kill an hour with, obviously hit us up on our socials.
I want to open the door to that. I think we should be trying things that others would like us to do. So if you listening would like us to try something specifically, I'm down for that, Bill. As long as it's not too freaky, Bill. Don't be doing the freaky filter and keeping all the freaky mad stuff, bruv.
Like if there's some zombie things, I'll let you go.
Zombie?
Yeah, because I'm a pussy, so I'm not going to be going to no zombie thing.
Yeah, zombie things are cool. I just mean just not too out there. Like I'm willing to go out there, but not way out there with the experiences, bruv.
Yeah, I can see that. So you don't want to be like tightrope across the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, or like, you know, let's actually cut off your arm in real life experience. I'm not on that. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think that's real.
Bruv, if you can think it, yeah, in this world, it exists.
Okay, well, cut it off and sew it back together.
Oh, that's long. Anyway, I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been producer Bill.
Thank you for killing some time with us. We've been How to Kill an Hour, rolling into 2019, like only we can. See you around.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.